Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
A growing chorus of voices. Women voicing fears of random attacks in public spaces because the disappearance of Sarah Everard, a young British woman walking home from a friend's house in Clapham in London, and the subsequent murder investigation has prompted several women to share harrowing stories online of being mugged, followed, harassed and assaulted while in a public place. It's also prompted a wave of anger from women who are tired of feeling afraid to walk in the streets and of always having to be on their guard and ready to protect themselves. I'm joined now by two women who have shared their experiences, Dr. Niamh Cummins, researcher in emergency medicine at the School of Allied Health in the University of Limerick, and Aoife Moore, who's a political correspondent with the Irish Examiner. You're both very welcome to the programme. And Sarah and I have been reading with interest all of the stories, or as many as we could, of that have been on social media over the last 24 hours or so. I might turn to you, Niamh, first of all, because you tweeted yesterday about two very, very frightening events. The first of which you were when you were out for a run in the local woods, and this was when you were in college. Can you tell people what happened?
Hi, Cormac. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I suppose I was reading with interest the story of Sarah Everard last night, which was really tragic, and it just really upset me. And then when I woke up this morning, I just thought, you know, I'm going to share my experiences. So the first one that you mentioned there was when I was in college. I think I was in second year, and I was just out for a run in my local woods in County Waterford. And I noticed there was somebody behind me. And first, I didn't take much notice. Then I looked back and realized he wasn't actually wearing running gear. He was wearing a suede jacket and boots, and he wasn't running. He was chasing me. So I obviously, you know, started sprinting, but I was tired. I'd been out for a session already and he was catching me. And I've competed for Ireland in athletics, but he's a man and he's faster than me. Mm-hmm. So I started to panic. And luckily for me, there's a crossroads coming up and there's a turn just before it. So I'm going to be out of sight for a minute. So I just think I'm going to go for it. So I sprint as fast as I can. I turn the corner and I just run straight into the undergrowth and huddle, you know, in a bunch of ferns behind a tree and just wait. And he turns the corner and he realizes what I've done and starts laughing. He starts to search for me. He walks up one path, turns around, walks down the other path. He walks past where I'm crouched, you know, in terror multiple times, but he does eventually give up and walk away. And it was just such a lucky escape for me.
My God. And in a split second, Niamh, your life had changed. And I must say I shuddered with fear when I read that. But you were writing about another event, another episode that was even more frightening, wasn't it? This was when you were in the US.
It was. It was actually the most terrifying experience of my life. Yeah, to be honest. And it wasn't actually that much later. It was probably the following summer. I was on a J1 in Cape Cod. And a group of my friends and I were out in a nightclub, you know, underage drinking, as you do in the States. And at the end of the night, you know, we got separated and I was left with one friend. And she got a taxi, but she was in the other direction. And there was one spot left in the taxi. And I said, you go. I can run home, you know, and thinking I'd be safe enough. So I started running home and not wearing very appropriate shoes, as you do. And it was a quiet road, but I heard a car coming and didn't think too much at first. And then when it slowed down, you know, my heart rate started rising. And then I realized that it was a pickup truck of drunk men. And I knew I was in trouble. And I just didn't even think. Again, just instinct, adrenaline. I just took off. I sprinted across that road and lost a shoe in the process. And there was a fire station just back a little bit, so I turned around straight away. And as I turned around, the pickup truck was up above doing a U-turn, and I could hear them shouting and roaring. And I went to that fire station, and in my head I was thinking, firemen are heroes, they're going to save me.
Yeah.
And then as I entered the gate, I realised this fire station is closed. It's not fully manned. And I was hoping against hope that there was somebody inside asleep maybe, and I frantically banged on the door, but there wasn't. So again, I had to make for the bushes and the trees. Luckily, there was trees around. So I hid in the bushes again, and they pulled in the pickup truck. They were very drunk. They were very obnoxious. They started calling for me to come out and play, that they just wanted to have a good time. They were calling me a pretty young thing, and they could show me a good time. And all of this. Then, you know, they started getting angry when I didn't come out, and it changed to, you know, offensive comments about women and about me in particular. And they started smashing bottles, throwing whiskey cans around, beer cans around, sorry. They were, you know, very angry, very aggressive. The only thing that saved me really was that they were drunk. They were really drunk. If they had searched systematically, they would have found me. You know, I wasn't hidden that well. So I was just crouched there, terrified, frozen. And eventually they got bored and one of them started talking about a strip club and a brothel, and they left. And I was just extremely lucky. I just lay there without my shoes, in the dirt, just crying.
Petrified.
Because all I...
My God, I'd say you were petrified. And the frightening thing is, the frightening thing here is that your sixth sense wasn't wrong. You were really in trouble there. But can I ask you, how has it changed your behaviour, all of that?
I suppose I'm much more nervous, you know, when I'm on my own or if I'm out after dark. But it's hard to say, really, because it wasn't something... I know I've had a lot of lovely messages and emails and phone calls and everything today from wonderfully supportive women. But it's not something I've dwelt on particularly. I mean, obviously, it's there in my subconscious. Mm-hmm. And it does, you know, as I said, make me nervous. But I don't know if it makes me any more nervous than any woman, you know, because every single woman has a story to tell. Maybe they're not all as extreme as this, but every woman has experienced something, you know. So it's kind of hard to judge the impact from that regard, I suppose.
Aoife, I might bring you in here, if you don't mind, because I know that you have also sort of joined the conversation that's been ongoing for the last 24 hours in social media about this. So many different testimonies from women about different experiences they've had. You tweeted that you had been mugged while at university. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so I went to university in Glasgow, and while I was there, I worked in a pub. I was working one night, I think it was like a Tuesday or Wednesday, it was a quiet night anyway, and I finished work about 12, we got cleaned up, and I had no money for a taxi, and I decided I had to walk home. It was pretty well lit, because I was walking through Glasgow city centre, and I was crossing the Kingston Bridge when I seen another fella, a fella coming towards me. He stopped and asked me for change, which is quite a common occurrence in Glasgow city centre. And I'd say, damn, listen, mate, like, I don't have any money. That's why I'm walking home. And he grabbed me by my coat and said, oh, something like, I don't believe you. Show me what you have in your purse. And I was getting my purse out and he had a hold of like my collar of my coat. And I was trying to pull away and he was pulling it. So it was a bit of pushing and pulling going on. And then eventually I got my purse out and I only had about £3 in my purse. So we took the £3 and a couple of cards and he took off. And I took off running and came home and went and woke up my flatmates and told my flatmates. But and told my boyfriend the next day, or that morning, sorry, whose first comment was, why were you walking home? And then after that, I didn't tell the police. I didn't tell anyone at work. I didn't tell my university or my mommy or daddy, because I knew that the first thing they were going to say was, what were you doing walking home at 1 o'clock in the morning?
Your fault.
So I just never told anyone. I would like to point out that I did swiftly dump the boyfriend who made that comment. But,
and just on that point, Aoife, because unfortunately we're almost out of time on this, but on that point, I think a lot of the conversation online has been about that, putting the responsibility onto women for their behaviour and their duty around their own safety, as opposed to on men.
Yeah, this is it. The thing is, like, women are never going to be safe enough if it's just put on us. You know, women get attacked in the day, in the night, whether they're wearing a short skirt or a long dress. You know, it's always about what the woman did. And why are we not talking about what the man did? Like, we're never going to be safe enough if men don't take some action now and speak to their friends and speak to their family, because it all comes from lack of respect for women. And, you know, this notion that women have to, if they just did this, they'd be safe, or they just did that, they'd be safe. It's not true. We're going to be attacked anyway if society doesn't get its act together and men decide not to attack women.
And just a final word to yourself, Niamh, on this. I mean, part of the online conversation has been not all men, the trending hashtag not all men. What do you say to that?
I think the hashtag not all men is a little bit disingenuous, because obviously we know it's not all men. It's the odd predator, but we don't know which ones are the predators. So we're afraid, you know, and I would just ask all men to advocate for women, to listen to women, to be allies and to just call out toxic masculinity. You know, just call out your friends if they're even if it's just a joke or a comment. I mean, I'm not, you know, a zero crack or anything, but, you know, it's just like Aoife said, that's how we change society.
Okay, look, we'll leave it there. We could fill another 2 or 3 hours, I'd say, on this based on what was written on social media, and we will return to it. But I think men know that women take precautions and are wary. Maybe the blind spot for men is we don't know the full extent of it, and we will definitely return to this. Can I thank you both, Dr. Niamh Cummins and Aoife Moore? Thank you so much for talking to us this evening.